Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. You're probably wondering why I go to the Psalms a lot. If I'm not studying our book that we're studying together, I'm usually in the book of Psalms, and I'll tell you why. Second to the book of James, the book of Psalms is one of my favorite books of all of the Bible.
Amen.
It is a place that I can go to if I am in need of something. If I don't know what to pray for, if I'm depressed, if I'm worried, if I'm doubtful, I can go to the book of Psalms. And I can usually find comfort. Today is a day of joy.
Amen.
That's right.
Today in the church calendar, we call today Palm Sunday, and we begin to enter into what is called Holy Week, where we begin to examine the passion and death and ultimately the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the very foundation of our hope as Christians. And I'm not going to get into that now. I'm going to get into that on Sunday. But this is, for the church, the last opportunity that we have to rejoice before it gets sad. Many churches will have a very joyous, a very exuberant Palm Sunday. And then they have a very somber Holy Week. Maundy Thursday is a day that we come and we celebrate the Passover that Jesus celebrated with His disciples. If you have not signed up, maybe you haven't, but if you want to show up between the hours of 4 and 8 o'clock, I will be here. I will even put my phone number on the door, that if you are here and I am not here, you will call and I will come and serve you communion. We will have open communion because that is the night that Jesus experienced this wonderful concept of painting a picture of His death and resurrection through bread and wine. And it's a wonderful, wonderful picture. And God ministers to us through those elements. And please, do not miss that. It's a very sacred time. And I really believe that you will benefit from that. And then they have Good Friday. We're not having a Good Friday service because we're doing a Maundy Thursday service. But at Good Friday is the day that Jesus hung upon the cross. And He suffered, and He died to pay your sin and my sin. And in most liturgical churches, when they have the Good Friday service, it begins with a candlelight, and then all of a sudden it goes dark. And they slam the book shut, and the lights go out, and no one speaks a word. It is a time of reflection of the death of Christ. And then we come again on Sunday morning and we celebrate His resurrection. But it began with praise and it ends with praise. Interesting how that works. The story goes that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and they began to take palm branches and they would wave them and they would put them on the road and they would put coats on the road. And Jesus rode in as a king would ride in and they were singing, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And the question that I want us to ponder today is, why should I praise the Lord? Because as I always say, that it is not just to be done one time a year. It is not something that we are to emphasize only one time, but it is something that we should do all the time. It should be a habit of the Christian. If we have been saved and filled with His Holy Spirit, then praising God should be a normal habit of the Christian life. And what I want to do in this message this morning is I want us to look at the Psalm of Praise and how you and I can implant these principles of praise into our everyday life. Because I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, and there are probably times in your life, when you just don't feel like praising the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I know that there are times in my life that I've been through some very deep and dark valleys. I've shared that before. That I've gone through times when I just didn't feel like praising God at all. And so we come to this psalm, the 150th psalm. And as I read this, I want you to count in your head how many times the word praise is used in this psalm. Let's look at it together. Psalm chapter 150, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. And praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet and trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, it is a very short psalm, only 6 verses, but did anyone count how many times the word praise is used in this psalm? 13 times. 13 times in this psalm, the word praise is used. So what does that tell me? It's important. I need to take note of it. I need to see what that word is. So I did a word study. The word in the Hebrew is the word hallel. H-A-L-A-L. Hallel. And it simply means, in its very simplest form, to boast about. What we're saying here is that the goal of our worship is to boast about God. Now I want to ask the question this morning. How much of our worship that we have is focused on God, but is focused on us? Now, I'm glad to say that I've never had to deal with the issue of worship in this church, ever. And I'm glad for that. At other churches, I've heard complaints of the different types of music that people do or do not like to sing. People say, well, I like to sing this kind of music. And I like to sing that kind of music. And I like, you notice the word that is used repeatedly? I like. But praise is not about you. It is not about me. It is about boasting about God. What does boasting mean? Boasting is when you talk something up. When I think about that, I think about my grandma. Bless her heart. She, if we talk about someone that could embarrass you, that would be my grandma. My first assignment that I got, I was interim pastor of 2 American Baptist churches. I served there for about 4 months. And I would go and I would spend a couple days a week. I would go there on Friday, and I would spend Friday and Saturday and Sunday up at the church. And if there wasn't any appointments, I would hang out with my grandma, and we'd go places and do things. And it was embarrassing to go anywhere with her, because we'd go anywhere. We'd go in the drugstore, and she'd tell someone who we didn't even know, she would introduce me. And she says, "This is my grandson, and he's a preacher. He pastors the Baptist church. Come and hear him on Sunday morning." I would leave that place. My face was so red. I wanted to go back and apologize to the person that was there. But every place that I would go, "Well, he's a minister," or "he's a," and she would talk me up. That's praise. And we should be doing the same thing for God. We should be talking up God. We should be telling God about, telling the world about how great is our God. I want us to notice four things in this psalm. First of all, I want us to notice the place of praise. Where do we praise God? He gives us two places. First of all, he says that we're to praise God in his sanctuary. Now, there are some commentators that believe that the only place that we really can praise God, or that we can authorize to pray God, is in church. Well, you know, this psalm was written before we were gathering in churches. Before there was even a church. This was written back during the time of David, or I would even say later than probably David. And the sanctuary that they were talking about was the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean that this is a building? I don't think so. Now, watch this. When he says, "Praise him in his sanctuary," what do we always tend to do? Do we praise God by ourselves in a sanctuary? Are we by ourselves? No. You look next to you and you will find, behind you, you will find that there are people here. What he is talking about is that we're to praise God as a community of believers. There is something powerful, there is something amazing and wonderful about praising God in a community of believers. I think one of the very sad things that we've done as evangelicals is we have individualized salvation. So much so that we believe that it's always something that we individually do. We talked about that last week. That the only person that can come to Christ is us. We cannot be responsible for the person sitting next to us or behind us or in front of us or any of these things. That we are responsible for us. And we have made worship so individualized that we forget that we are not just one person, but we are a community together. We are a community of believers. We are together. And so as a community of believers, there is something about powerfully when we get together and we praise the name of Jesus together. I don't know about you, but did you feel encouraged and uplifted this morning as we sang praises to Jesus? Amen, I did. There is something about sitting and worshiping together as a congregation that brings us into the very presence of God. I cannot tell you the number of excuses that people give me for why they don't go to church. Now, I'm not here to bang on people for not going to church. I want to give that clear. But it always seems to me that every time I go and I go places, like I kid you not, I could be sitting at an airplane. And the guy sitting next to me, you know, we kind of get into a conversation. This is a true story. This happened to me a while back. Because I live in Nebraska, I fly all the time home and back. And I sat next to this one guy, and we're talking, and he asked me, He asked me what I did for a living. That's kind of part of the thing we, you know, you talk about. What do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And it kids me not that as soon as I say that, people's behavior changes. And now they have to justify for me and give me a good reason why they don't go to church. They may not even go to my church. They may not even live in the same country as I do. But they have to find a way to justify to me to make sure that it's okay by my standards that they don't go to church. All right? So this guy is telling me, well, he doesn't go to church. He goes to church out at the lake. Right? You've heard this before, right? Or another person says, I don't go to church. I go to church in the forest, in the woods. That's where I connect with God. I've heard that line so much that I laugh when I hear it, and I really try not to sound disrespectful, because that's not, but I say you need the believers. There's something about the community of the believers. You know, it talks about in Matthew, where it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. And in Hebrews, it talks about do not forsake the assembling together, right? And so we cannot forsake that. There's something about being together. And so when he says, praise God in the sanctuary, he's talking about us, that as we come together to worship God, and that as we lift up our voices to him, we give him praise. Secondly, he says, praise him in his mighty expanse. Now, what does that mean? That means this, that it is not limited to just congregational singing. Now, I want to say, the reason why I prefaced it at the beginning is I want to say that there is nothing wrong with singing praises to God at the lake. There is nothing wrong with singing praises to God in the forest or in the desert or wherever you like to sing praises. Some people like to sing praises in the shower. Other people like to sing praises in the car. You've seen these people. You're driving up to the stoplight and they're singing, you know, how great is our God! And they may not sound like they're on pitch at all, but they're worshiping the Lord Jesus, you know. What does that mean? That means that there's nothing wrong with, but we cannot just limit it to that. That there is both power in both communal worship and worship outside of the community of the believers of Christ. Does that make sense? So worship is both communal and individual. But we cannot separate the two to say that we'll take one or the other. We have to do both. There are times when we do praise God, when we just start praising God. God does something good in our lives and we just start praising him. You know, people may think we're crazy when we're talking to ourselves in the car, but who cares what they think? So what's the place of praise? The place of praise is anywhere. In the congregation or in his great expanse. Secondly, I want us to note the points of praise. The points of praise is why do I praise God? Why do I praise God? Well, he answers that for two reasons. Number one, we praise God for his mighty deeds. What has he done? Oh, let me count the ways. He has saved us. He has sanctified us. He has filled us with his Holy Spirit. He gives us life and breath. Everything that we have is because God has given it to us. I can go on and on about all the things that God has done for us. Praise him for his mighty deeds. God has done something for us. Amen. We do it every once in a while, but I remember in the old time Nazarene church, I grew up in the Nazarene church, Sunday night, every Sunday night, we had a time for testimony. And testimony, as I learned what it was telling the congregation something that God had done for them this week. God had done something for them. And I was little, but I wanted to take part. I saw other people taking part in that, getting up and saying, this is what I, you know, this is what God has done for me, and that is what God has done for me. And I kept telling my mom, I said, Mom, I want to give a testimony. And my mom was afraid. She didn't know what I was going to say. She said, keep it short. But I wanted to so bad. So finally, my mom let me give a testimony on a Sunday night. I was 6 years old. I was so excited. And I stood up and the pastor handed me the microphone. And I stood on the pew and I said, I want to thank God that I'm saved.
Amen.
I was six. But I wanted everyone to know God did that for me. And I was so excited. We praise God for His mighty deeds. We thank Him that He has saved us, that He has filled us with His Holy Spirit. And we thank Him for that. We praise Him for He can do that. Secondly, we thank Him not only for who or for what He has done, but we thank Him for who He is.
Amen.
Who is He? Who is this King of Glory? Couple of places I want us to turn to. The first one is in the 24th Psalm. The 24th Psalm. Turn over there for just a moment. This is a wonderful psalm that talks about who God is, the earth is the Lord's, verse 1, and all it contains. And he uses this phrase down in verse 37. He says, lift up your hands, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your hands, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. We praise Him for who He is. Who is He? He is the King of Glory. He is strong and mighty. He is mighty in battle. Who is the Lord? And we can give you a list of names. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of Hosts. Now, I find it interesting that in the places where we have glimpses into heaven, to see what it says about who God is, they give us what they worship Him for. If you'll turn over to the book of Isaiah chapter 6 for a moment. We see a glimpse into a worship scene in heaven. And they see that this place is filled with smoke and God's train is filling the temple, or His robe is filling the temple. And these two seraphims lead in a worship song. And in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, a seraphim, in verse 2, stood above Him. And having six wings, with one He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And He called to one another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of Hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So when Isaiah caught a glimpse into the very realm of heaven, and they got a glimpse of them praising God, they were praying praising Him for what? That He is holy. 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 I've noticed that they don't say, and these are all things. They don't say that He is good. He is good. He is good. Although He is good. They don't say that He is love. He is love. He is love. Although He is love. They say that He is holy. 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 The attribute that is above all attributes, and I want you to understand this, it is the attribute that allows Him to be love and just and faithful and true. It's if you don't have this quality, you can't be any of the other qualities as holy. If God is not holy, He cannot be loving. If God is not holy, He cannot be fair and just. If God is not holy, He cannot be faithful. If God is not holy, He cannot be good. If God is not holy, then we have none of these things. But because God is holy, He can be love. He can be these things that I've mentioned. So we praise Him for His mighty deeds, and we praise Him for who He is. Who is He? He is holy. And through His holiness comes all of the other things that we praise Him for. The same thing happens in Revelation chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. Same thing. The cherubim are singing, "Holy, holy, holy." He's a holy God. Those are the points of praise. Then we have the third thing is we have the proper means of praise. Now notice here he gives us a list of instruments and things. He says, praise Him with trumpet sounds. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel. Those are tambourines type things. And dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. I don't think that there is one right way to worship God. He gives us many different options. We can praise God with trumpets. We can praise God with dancing. We can praise God with tambourines. We can praise God with stringed instruments. There is no one right way to praise God. There are many ways that we can praise God. There's many options. We don't have to just use the hymnal. We can use a newer song. It's okay. God's flexible. But here's what I want us to see. God loves it when we give Him our best. Dancing. I'm not a dancer. I'm not. You don't see me running down the aisles. If you did, you'd probably think I was on some kind of drug because you know that would not be me at all. Right? But that's okay. You go into other places of worship and they're a little bit more expressive than we are. I, if you guys don't know, well, most of you here know, I teach school at the Assemblies of God school. And I went to one of their revival services just so that I could show our partnership and our two things. And we brought a Special Olympic athlete that was not used to that style of worship. And boy, they had their hands raised and they were all over the place and they were worshiping God in their way. And that's just not the way that but that's okay. You know, and they're just they do it different, and that's okay. You know, Joey said to me after this, "Is that okay?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine. It's just a different style than we're used to. There's no one right way to do it. If you lift up your hands, it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It's okay to lift up your hands, right? There's different styles of lifting up your hands, you know. You got the one where you hold the TV, you know, hold the TV, you know, hold the big screen, you know. Then you have the one where it's just a little bit wider, you know. Then you have the ones that's all the way up, you know, field goal, you know. It's okay. There's many different ways to worship God. We can do it when we play a stringed instrument or when we don't use music. There's many ways that we can praise God. But the fact of the matter is, are we praising God? Are we boasting about who He is and about what He's done in our lives? And then finally, in verse 6, we have the participants of praise. Who can praise the Lord? Now here it is. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now how many of you here breathe in air? Raise your hand. We have some over here that do not breathe in air. You may want to check with your mom. She has some insights for you. If you are taking a breath this morning, you breathe in air. And the Bible says that let everything that has breath, and breath is air, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you can breathe this morning, then you can praise God. Amen. Whatever it is that you may be going through this morning, you can praise God. And here's what it's about. What does it do? Why should I praise God? Here's why you should praise God. Now, don't miss this. We praise God because it takes our focus off of us and it puts it onto Jesus.
Amen.
Because when I come to church, I have a lot of things that are focused about me. I come in, I didn't get my breakfast this morning. I woke up late. You know, my coffee was cold. Whatever it might be. You know, I kicked my dog. I don't even have a dog. You know, these kind of things. I'm mad. You know, I'm not even happy to walk in the door. I share a story that Alistair Begg had one time where he would come in and he went to one of these bigger churches that was real big, you know, and he goes into the church and he didn't know what to do. He didn't have to do anything that Sunday morning, so he just kind of sat down, you know, and they had one of those countdown screens, you know, 5 minutes, and then 4:59 and 4:58, you know, and so he's kind of, you know, getting ready, and they get down to the 1 minute thing and the 30 seconds, and, you know, the band's getting going. You know, he doesn't know if David Letterman's going to show up or what, you know. They're getting the band ready, and the worship leader that's coming to do the opening song, he says, "How you feeling this morning?" That's the wrong question to ask on a Sunday morning. What do you mean, how I'm feeling? I mean, I'm not feeling good at all. I'm in a bad mood. I had to work last night and I didn't get very much sleep. What do you mean, how am I feeling? You got to give me something better than that. Instead of telling me how I'm feeling, let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on praising His name. Amen. Instead of focusing on how I feel. I feel pretty lousy, thank you for asking. Got something better than that. What does praise do? Praise takes our focus off of ourselves and we put it on God. So when we praise Him in all these different circumstances, when life isn't going well, when we feel that all the world is crashing in around us, when we have the deficit and we don't know how the bills are going to get paid, and we're worried about that, we begin to praise God. Amen. And what do? We turn the focus away from us and we put it on God. There's a story that is told in the Old Testament about King Jehoshaphat, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And King Jehoshaphat heard that the armies of Moab were going to come and they were going to fight against him. And he didn't know how they were going to beat him. They were a lot stronger and mightier than he was. And it was like 10 to 1 There were 10 Moabite men to one of the Israelite army. They were going to get crushed and creamed. And he didn't know what to do, so he went and he started praying. He said, "Lord, I don't know what we're going to do." And all of a sudden, this old prophet comes in, and he says, "The Lord has spoken to me, and he wants to tell you something, Jehoshaphat." He says, "I want you, this is your battle plan, I want you to get your choir, your praise team, and I want them to go out first. And they're going to go out and they're going to sing praises. You're not going to fight. You're just going to go out and you're going to sing praise songs. And you're going to watch and see what happens." Now, if someone would tell that to a military strategist, they'd probably say, "You're full of something." Right? You don't sing singers to go fight an army. Right? You don't do that. You want to send the big guns in first. The tanks and the jeeps and the bombs and the stuff. You don't want to sing in your singers. But the battle's not yours. It's the Lord. And so what does he do? He sends the praise team in. And they go in and they start singing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And as soon as they start singing, all of a sudden, the armies of Moab, God comes down upon them and they start fighting each other. And they go and they slaughter each other. And they kill every one of them. And here the Israelites are, they're just singing songs. Going, "Okay, praise the Lord, yay, pray." And they're singing, you know. What is it doing? It's taking the focus away from us and putting it on God. Because before, Jehoshaphat was focused upon him and what he was going to do and how he was going to focus. And what he did was he turned it away and he put it upon God. Now, how does this relate to us on Palm Sunday? Well, here's the thing. Why do we give God praise? You see, they knew. Well, they didn't know. They kind of knew. They thought that he was going to be the Messiah that was going to come and save them from the Roman rule. They thought he was their new earthly king. That's not what Jesus planned to be. And so he came in and he made that clear, but they still worshipped him. But he took the worship because no matter what, they're worshiping him. They're calling him Hosanna. And the Pharisees, they weren't too happy about it. And they come to Jesus and they said, "You know what, Jesus? You tell your disciples to quit giving you praise." And this is what he said in verse 40. He says, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Why do we pray? Two things. We pray because it turns our focus away from us and it puts it on God. And second, if we don't praise, the rocks are going to praise. And I don't know about you, but I don't want no rocks praising God. I want to praise God. Do you want to praise God or do you want the rocks to praise God? I've never heard no rock sing. I don't care to. Let's praise God. And let's not just let it be a time where we do it today because today is Palm Sunday, but let it be something that we do on a normal, regular basis. We praise Him in the morning. We praise Him in the evening. We praise Him when we're young and when we're old. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time of response, Lord, we pray that you would help us to see that praising you is not something that we do once in a while. That we praise you when we're in the congregation together. We praise you when we're by ourselves. Father, it is something that we should do all the time. Father, praise is so important because you are worthy of our praise. You've saved us. You've done so many things for us, even when we didn't know how to save ourselves. Lord, you were there with us. So, Father, help us to respond to you in a right way. And we pray for your help in doing this. And we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.